Welcome in to Rooster Rant. I am your host, Matt Anderson, and joining me, as always, is Alex Jones of thebigspur.com. You know, Alex, I hope you first and foremost had a fantastic Thanksgiving. Hope you got to spend it with the family, and I hate that in between the long holiday weekend, the Gamecocks laid a dud, because I'm sure it's making the Big Spur really fun right now.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. I guess we'll just start with that on that front. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Everybody had a great time with the family and all that. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about tonight, Matt, on that game and kind of moving forward and all that. But it's hard to believe that this is the last Rooster Rant of the season. It feels like we were just talking about game one, Virginia Tech and that win. But it's hard to believe we're here, but we're here.
Yeah, and obviously Alex and I are going to talk a heck of a lot about South Carolina football. Not only the South Carolina-Clemson game, but also the future, because the future is now. Going into this season, Alex, it was a season of high expectations, and that really didn't come to fruition for a lot of reasons that we'll dissect. We'll talk a little bit of men's and women's basketball. Gamecock women's basketball team dropped their first game of the season out in Las Vegas to Texas, who's in the SEC. 66-64 was the final there, I believe, and it was a literally a last-second shot. Not a buzzer beater, but a shot with 1 second left that doomed them. Gamecock men's basketball team survived a bit of a scare against Charleston Southern. As I've mentioned before, my brother played at Charleston Southern, so you know, love to see them do well, but really did not want them to get that win against the Gamecocks for obvious reasons. The football season, as we said at the top, it ended in depressing fashion. 28-14 loss to Clemson, if you've been living under a rock and haven't heard the final. But I have a feeling anyone watching this show tonight knows what happened on Saturday. So we'll talk about the football game. 4-8 is not what the doctor ordered. It's not what Gamecock fans expected. And honestly, Alex, it's not what either you nor I expected. Shane Beamer will be back as the head coach of South Carolina in 2026. And if you listen to his post-game press conference, he has his attention fully turned to 2026 at this point. And, you know, despite what Shane may or may not say in press conferences, I think once the Gamecocks got eliminated from a bowl game, I think that he had to start turning about 60% of his attention to next year, and then also getting ready for Clemson and leading on his offensive and defensive staff to help him with that game planning. But National Signing Day is Wednesday. Alex and I will talk a little bit about that, not give a full-blown preview, but just some guys we're still tracking. And then Shane Beamer. Talking a lot about Shane Beamer, y'all. Shane Beamer has at least one or two coaches that he has to hire this offseason. We'll talk about who those might be, who might be retained, all of that. And then I'm sure the chat box is going to be loaded tonight with the typical ranting, which we love, and just, you know, the negative thoughts and feelings about this season. We'd love to try and tie a bow on this season tonight. It is our last Rooster Rant, but we'll be back on Wednesday. And I'm sure there's going to be a heck of a lot to talk about. But we always appreciate your thoughts and comments in here. So bring them, and we'll try and get to everything we can. Around 7:30, Justin Lyles from sportscapvalue.com is going to pop in, and probably a little bit less betting-centric, because I don't know if the lines are even out yet for conference championships. But remember, Justin is a fan, and he's a fan of college football in general, so we'll get his thoughts on what he thinks Shane Beamer should do, what the solution might be, and then we'll just keep rocking and rolling until about 8 o'clock tonight. So, Alex, let's get to the Rooster Rant.
The barnyard's fired up or down in the dumps. Roosters high, roosters low. It's college football, don't you know? Either way, let's go. Let's talk about it. Let's scream and shout it. Let's fire everybody fast or celebrate. It's Rooster Rant. like Gamecock. Matt Anderson and the pride of Hampton County. Alex Jones and all of you on Bruce Duran.
So welcome back in to Rooster Rant. I do want to say off the top, Alex, that while we will not be discussing any of this in great detail tonight, you do have four jobs in the SEC that have filled with football coaches today. Everybody knows the big story in college football, Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss and college football playoff bound Ole Miss, hosting a home game in the college football playoffs, Ole Miss, to go to LSU. I was told about 3 weeks ago that was going to happen. I've been pretty steadfast in that. I don't know how I feel about Lane Kiffin making that move. I don't know if it's smart. I don't know if it's dumb, but there's not a lot of people that are ever going to turn down LSU. Then you have John Summerall from Tulane is going to be the head coach at Florida. You have South Florida's Golesh, however you say it, going to Auburn. And then Arkansas hired Silverfield from Memphis. So, look, Alex, you know, we talked about this a while back. You know, if South Carolina did make a move from Shane Beamer, who are they going to go get? And you have the Memphis coach, the Tulane coach, and you have South Florida's coach coming to the SEC. So how happy would a Gamecock fans have been with that? I don't know. I do want to highlight Rob here in the chat box. Alex, go ahead and pop that up there. Don't worry, y'all. Right when we get off the air at 8 o'clock, Rob and SEC Sunday Night, and those guys will be all over the SEC moves, what's happening, and they'll take a deeper dive into that. But for us, Alex, tonight our focus is Gamecock athletics. Look, Don Staley's women's team got a preview of probably their toughest competition in the SEC this year. If they want to win an SEC regular season championship, a conference championship, and who knows, they might run into Texas maybe a fourth time, maybe a fifth time this year, the way things play out. But Gamecocks did fall. I think that Dawn Staley said all the right things in her post-game press conference. This is a game they will take a learning lesson from. They will learn from it. They had opportunities to put Texas away. And, you know, we're getting to the point with college basketball on the women's side, you know, for a while, it was you could have some undefeated teams. I think that the parity in women's college basketball is getting to the point where you're not going to see the UConn runs of years ago, the Tennessee runs, the Louisiana Tech runs, the Don Staley runs, 40-0. So, Alex, quick thoughts on that. We're not going to spend a lot of time on basketball, but the women did suffer their first loss of the season.
Yeah, just looking at it, they had some opportunities around the rim. You know, I can't remember the exact number, the exact stat, but there's some opportunities and layups that they had that they just missed. And, you know, it feels like it's one of those things where maybe an early season type of thing that you can fix pretty easily. But, you know, I don't think there's much to worry about there. Dawn's team, they'll be fine and they'll get right back on track. That's, you know, Texas and South Carolina probably, and, you know, throw LSU in there. They're going to be, you know, three of the best teams in the country. So, you know, that was just a challenge there for South Carolina at that standpoint, but they'll bounce back.
Yeah, and I think this women's team is probably still on a Final Four trajectory and national championship trajectory. But no, I think that they're still one of the top four, top three, top two, best team in the country. One loss doesn't change that. But before the Gamecocks start talking about Final Fours and national championships, they do on Thursday go to Louisville, who, as of today, I haven't looked at Louisville's record this past week, but was ranked inside the top 25. So Don Staley will give the women another test on the road, which you know, Don Staley's never shied away from. On the men's side, like we said at the top, the men did survive Charleston Southern. And, you know, that was one of the games where I was actually listening to on the radio. Was traveling, so I didn't get to watch it live. I don't watch my phone when I'm driving, all that kind of stuff. But just a couple things I didn't like: that they got out-rebounded by Charleston Southern. Charleston Southern is not known as a great rebounding team, especially against Power 5 opponents. But I think Lamont said it in the post game, and I can just tell you 100% fact, you see a lot of teams coming off Thanksgiving, especially the day after Thanksgiving, not playing in one of those big Thanksgiving tournaments where there's a lot of momentum, a lot of you know, feeling like the game can be on the line type situation where you kind of sleepwalk through it. And I think that the men did that. The men on Tuesday, though, Alex, I know you'll be in Colonial Life Arena for this one. They do host Virginia Tech. This will be their third, well, I guess fourth, if you count the exhibition game against NC State. This will be the fourth opportunity against a Power 5 team, a like-on-like type level team. The Hokies do have a similar opponent, Alex. They beat Charleston Southern by 31 points to open the season. I don't think you can take too much from that based on the Gamecocks playing them the day after Thanksgiving and the Hokies playing them to start the season. But when it comes to the Hokies, this is going to be their first road test of the season. VT's a scrappy team, Alex. You know, I was looking at some advanced metrics for them. They're not really going to be a team that out-offenses you. They don't do anything spectacularly on offense except for they don't turn the ball over. And, again, they're scrappy on defense. The Hokies do have wins over Providence by 6 points in overtime, and they beat Colorado State by 2. But they have dropped their last two contests to St. Mary's and VCU by a combined 29 points. So, Alex, this is a game that I think the Gamecocks will probably be favored in, probably be pretty close to a pick 'em. If the Gamecocks aren't favored, I don't see it as anything, you know. Virginia Tech might be favored by 1.5, 2.5 points, but it's an opportunity for the Gamecocks.
Yeah, it's feels like a very important game. And, you know, I was kind of looking around at some VT stuff early today. And, you know, the ESPN win probability in their matchup predictor has South Carolina at 71%. So, yeah, I mean, read into that what you will. You know, coming off of, you know, Virginia Tech was down in the Bahamas or in Atlantis for that tournament and had those two losses against St. Mary's and VCU. And the VCU game just really kind of got away from them in that 86-68 loss. But, I mean, it's a talented team that's taken a step forward from last year. You know, I think we all know how good of a coach Mike Young is. But, you know, they've got some players, got, you know, five guys averaging double figures right now. The one to watch is kind of Nicholas – I may not be saying this right, but Nicholas Abdallah is a freshman guard who's been really, really good so far. 13.8 points, 4.6 assists, 3.3 rebounds per game. Really good players shooting 35% from three. And they got, you know, Hansberry at the four, who I think is 6'8", and then Toby Lawal, I think 6'8", 6'9", somewhere in there. And Lawal is averaging 12.8, 10.3 rebounds per game. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge for South Carolina, but, you know, just, you know, a really important game in this SEC-ACC challenge for South Carolina. Just, you know, coming off of that Greensboro tournament where they had the losses to Northwestern and Butler. And, you know, in that Charleston Southern game, the shooting just didn't quite come back around like you thought it may coming off that green bar, but that's going to be something that's going to need to come around in this game.
Yeah, they got to find that three-point touch again because, as we talked about it, age and the three-point shot are the two great equalizers in college basketball right now. I think I should trademark that. I don't know if any other announcers have said it. Most of the time I come up with the stuff on my own, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, this is a very important game for South Carolina, though, Alex, because – they didn't take advantage of their opportunities out of the Greenbrier to, you know, maybe get some quad one, quad two wins on the resume going to SEC play. This game would probably end up being a quad two or a quad three win if they're able to get it. But outside of that, they should win the rest of their non-con. If they drop any of those, that's terrible. They shouldn't drop any more of their non-cons. But then in 2 weeks after this game, on the 16th, you travel to Clemson where you will be an underdog, and that will be a quad one game. So, really, 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 really need to see the Gamecocks find a way to win that game. Alex, let's turn our attention now, for better or for worse, to football. South Carolina, like I said off the top, lost 28-14 to Clemson. It was a 20-14 game with 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Gamecocks had all three timeouts. And it kind of felt like South Carolina been able to get some big plays. Obviously, the two 50-yard bombs. 50-plus yard bombs that went for touchdowns. That was only 14 points the Gamecocks scored. But it wasn't meant to be. You had a tip pass by Lenore Sellers. The ball kind of hit a defender and Nick Harbor maybe as well. Nick Harbor maybe thought the ball was going to the ground. Clemson snatched it out of the air, returned it for a touchdown, and the game was pretty much over once they went for that two-point conversion. Alex, I think that it was, you know, go ahead and throw some of these comments up there, Alex. I think there are some good ones in here. Just pick and choose. I mean, it kind of was a microcosm of the entire season. One, not being able to convert on third downs, not being able to own time of possession, and then on defense, giving up those crucial third downs. I will say that Clemson had a heck of a lot of good third down calls. I think they were 7-for-17 in the game, 7-for-18, something like that. But then you also had what I would say some some 50-50 calls by the officials that allowed Clemson to continue drives. The first half, Alex, I don't think that they tried nearly hard enough to establish the run. I think that for good reason, I think that, and it's the same thing I thought. So, like, I'm not excusing the thought that, you know, Shane Beamer and the defensive and offensive coaches might have had going into it, but I thought the Gamecock defense would pretty much handle Clemson. And outside of some third down plays, I think they did handle Clemson. But when you have a roughing the punter, which honestly I thought should have been running into the punter or maybe nothing at all, but Shane Beamer said it. Shane Beamer said, you know, that's on us. Like, we should have blocked that punt. It never should have come down to a referee having to blow the whistle. I think when you look back at Lenore Sellers' first interception of the game, I mean, I think it's something when you pan the crowd. I had to watch on TV this week. But when you pan the crowd and Clemson fans are surprised that the call isn't overturned, yeah. So, I mean, that could have been 3 points right there. Maybe the game changes. I truly believed that, you know, going into that last drive with 3 minutes to go, last meaningful drive of the game, that they were going to do something. And I was watching with my brother. My brother went to the bathroom thinking it would be a commercial break. By the time he came back, he couldn't understand what happened. And it's just one of those things, Alex. You're going 0 for 10 on your first 10 third and fourth downs doesn't help you at all. Not winning time of possession, all the things that we've talked about all season long. And, Alex, you know, your thoughts on the game, and we'll continue to get through some of these chat box thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I think defensively, you know, had some issues throughout the game getting off the field on third down, but for the most part, the defense just kind of did their part, kind of like they've done for most of the season, where, you know, they gave the offense every chance they needed to kind of get into that game, and the offense had a chance there in that at the end of the game there to kind of get things going on that last drive, and on the first play, he had the pick six, and it was over from there. But, you know, you had some opportunities, and I think I saw Harrison bring it up in the comments about the kind of that fourth down. You know, you had the deep ball. I think it was like third and three. You had the deep ball to Harbor in the end zone. You're obviously that was going to be a, you know, four down type of drive. Like, you're going to go for it on fourth down, and then you just get it, and then you can't make it. And it looked like there was on that fourth down, there was a, you know, Maurice Brown, I think, was out in the flat. Looked like it was there, and could have been a game changing type of play. And, you know, had some calls go against you. You know, the punt, you know, I think it probably shouldn't have been a 15-yard flag, but you also were right there and probably should have blocked that punt. It's just kind of a microcosm of the season. But, you know, offensively, you know, I think, you know, just kind of the story of the game was you couldn't stay on the field on third downs. I mean, you were 1 of 11 on third downs, and Clemson, on the other hand, just kind of continued to do that. And, you know, it was just, you know, one of those things that felt like there's a lot of the things that were just microcosms of the seasons where South Carolina was in the game in the fourth quarter but just couldn't find a way to get over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to catch up on some of these chat box questions here, and I'll get to them. You know, you look – okay, I can see the third and three, right? The third and three where they take that deep shot. I can see it both ways because the Gamecocks hadn't been able to establish the run the entire game, and that's like the first semblance of establishing the run. Well, what do you do when you establish the run? You take a shot. So, now, you know, maybe you take a shot on third and three and you know it's four down territory, but then – part of my French, why the hell are you calling a timeout? Because you can't get the play in on fourth down. Dabo called the timeout, I know, but if he hadn't, Shane was calling that timeout a millisecond later. So, you know, I don't love that at all. I think that, you know, when you look at the game, I think Lenore Sellers had that opportunity for that signature moment again when he got out into the open field, and credit Clemson's defensive player. It made a great open field tackle, or Lenore Sellers just scoring a touchdown, and maybe it's a different game. You know, maybe you try and kick a long field goal in that fourth and three, and maybe you keep it closer and the game changes. You get that punt. I mean, there are a lot of things there that, that, you know, you just, as a Gamecock fan, you're mad about. I get it. And I mean, look, this season has been really, really hard. I don't think that the prognostications in the beginning of the season were off base. I mean, you just had a team that won six out of their last seven games, were, you know, 3 points away from the playoffs. I get all that. And I was coming, I will own it. I thought Lenore, like, we give bold predictions. Obviously, the bold predictions aren't all going to work out. They're bold for a reason. But I thought Lenore Sellers is going to be a much better player this year. I thought he was going to be, what I say, Alex, the 25-5-5 club, where, you know, he would get 25 passing touchdowns, 5+ rushing touchdowns, and less than 5 interceptions. That didn't happen. It didn't happen at all. I thought the tight ends are going to be more involved this year. I mean, Michael Smith left midseason. I mean, maybe that was foreshadowing. But, you know, looking through here, I mean, it is absolutely bonkers that the Gamecocks have not beat Clemson at home since 2013. You know, I joke about it. Dabo's now 7-10 against the game, or 10-7 against the Gamecocks in his career. And, you know, this game was never supposed to be a rivalry. This wasn't a rivalry. Well, you know, Dabo's made it a rivalry, and Carolina's had opportunities to win, especially these last 4 years. And look, they're 2-2. Shane Beamer could have been 3-2, but, you know, Harrison's right here. Harrison said it's embarrassing that the Gamecocks couldn't field a better team on their home field. It's just something else. I don't know if it's a Dabo and Clemson want it more type thing. I think the Gamecocks want it more, but I'm not more. I mean, just as much, I should say. But, you know, you saw Clemson fired up from the first whistle, the first snap, the first plays of the game on offense and defense. And they were getting their side of the stadium and their fans riled up. I mean, Jeffrey says 48 turnovers since 2000. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, Clemson just executed better. I mean, and then, you know, we mentioned the rushing yards, only have 41 rushing yards. And then, you know, I think the other stat outside the 1-for-11 on third downs, you also turned the ball over 4 times. I mean, that's something we talked about going into this game on all these shows. Like, you know, South Carolina's going to have to win the turnover battle because that's, you know, in these plays, and Shane Beamer mentioned, you know, last night, and Dabo Swinney said in his press conference during the week, like, need your best players to go out there and make plays in this game. And South Carolina just turned the ball over and had just, you know, key instances where things did not go the way that they needed to go their way in this game. And it all led to what the final score was.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit wild that Cade Klubnik's gonna leave his time at Clemson 2-1 against South Carolina without ever throwing a touchdown pass. That's kind of a crazy statistic that I don't know if will ever happen again. You know, I see Queen of the Cox in here. Haven't you heard Beamer, Matt? It's for the better. He's 1,000,000% confident we'll be looking at playoff seeding next year. You know, I would love to get the chat box's comments on this because I mentioned this to Alex earlier today when we were doing a little bit of show prep, but you know, one of the things that Beamer said in his post-game press conference was 7 games this year. It's been within a touchdown game. And he did say that the Gamecocks need to find a way to learn how to win, to finish games. You know, it's the same conversation at the 50. Look, go out there. This is your moment. It's a weird feeling, I would imagine, for the rest of the country to turn on a South Carolina football game, knowing what happened last year, and seeing it as a one possession game. Alex, I know when I turn on a random game on Saturday and I see it's a 3-point game, a 7-point game in the fourth quarter, wow, I'm locked in. Any team can win, but not this year for South Carolina.
And, you know, to that point, I saw Chris in the comment, I'm going to pull it up here, talked about, you know, said this year this team didn't have a vocal leader. They had no killer instinct, no drive to put games away. Do you think back to last year and some of this thing about the fourth quarter types of things? Last year, they were so good in those fourth quarter types of games because defensively, think about all the guys they had from a leadership standpoint on that team. You know, Nick Emenwori, Kyle Kennard, Demetrius Knight. A lot of that type of, you know, things and experience helps you in those fourth quarter games. They just didn't have that this season. I think they had guys trying to step up as a leader, but you just didn't have the amount of guys that you had, even offensively, Rocket Sanders last year, guys like Rashawn Lee, Torricelli Simpkins on the offensive line. I just think that was one of the, you know, outside of the, in addition to the offensive struggles that they had and in the fourth quarters and really the whole season. But I think that was something that really did play a role on this team.
I think you're 100% right. I mean, you have to have that leader. And look, say what you want about the defense, and we've said this a lot. I truly believe the defense has had to play perfect this year in far too many games. And the defense only gave up 20 points, really. 20, maybe call it 22 if you want to count the 2-point conversion. But if you're playing a 6-5 team on your home field the last game of the season and your defense gives up 20 to 22 points in the game, you should win that game. Like, that's okay. But, you know, it's something else. I mean, looking here, you know, I see Fishing with Felix say not a fan of Lenore's laughing after the interception and press conference. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that you wish wasn't on national TV or – not really national TV. I think it was SEC Network, so you had to have the SEC plan. But, like, Luke Doty's job there is to keep Lenore's loose, and you have to find a way to say, look, you know, you're going to get the ball back. I mean, you make a joke. That's what teammates do. And, you know, who knows what the context was. I don't think it was asked in the press conference. You know, what had you laughing after going down 28-14? Not a good look. I will say that Alex, and if it was someone from the Big Spur that asked this question in the press conference, you know, I'm asking for forgiveness now, but it was a really Bush League question in the press conference right after losing to your rival after a tough season. I think the second question was, will you be at South Carolina next year? I think that laughter was much more of Lenore's. And I think that was, I don't know if it was Jaden next to him, whoever, but the person was like, wow, they just really went right for it. I know it wasn't you that asked the question, Alex, but I mean, I think that's just a little moment of, I cannot effing believe I just got asked this question right now. Are you kidding me? I think that was more the laughter there.
Yeah.
And Alex just sent a private message. I don't think that was the Big Spur LOL. Yeah. I mean, that's tough. I think that it just, all in all, it's awful. And look, it falls right at Beamer's feet. I think that, you know, this whole buyout, is he going to get bought out? Is he not going to get bought out? Like, I was told a couple of weeks ago, money would not be an issue. So I don't know if it is an issue. Like, maybe that's what they're saying now, but I truly believe there's just enough boosters that really feel that Gamecocks were close last year. They buy into the 7-point game or less in multiple fourth quarter games, the almost wins against, you know, Alabama, who's playing for the SEC championship, and Texas A&M, who, you know, squandered their chance Friday night or Thursday night. They've got to figure out the leadership. Fish with Felix is 100% right. You know, the lack of leadership, Alex, you just mentioned it. Just kind of going through this stuff. Carolina Titan says that Shane just needs to stop talking. The more he speaks, the deeper he buries himself. I think Shane's just going to try and be as honest as he possibly can. Like, everything Shane says, I promise you, he truly believes. He does think that they're a recruit away, a couple transfer portal guys away. It's just tough. Looking here, it was a bend don't break defense this season, more than serviceable all year. Not great, not elite, but a lot better than 4-8. Yeah. Queen of the Cox says that same team allowed 40 plus to Duke it, and that game was at home. Absolutely. They didn't establish the run early, and they just went completely away from it. And I know that, I don't think the Nick Harbor play was a fluke. That one was dialed up. Now the Van Drevis, Jacobs, you know, catch of the season probably, and, you know, finishing of that play. Yeah, I don't think anyone draws that one up like that. But you know, it's just, it's tough. XO says, I'm not going to psychoanalyze players. We can all see we definitely lacked leadership and fight on offense. Yep. Jeffrey says he needs to stop talking. I agree. Yeah, I mean, I don't – I promise you, if Shane didn't have to do a press conference, I don't think he would, because they haven't been fun for a long time for him.
Yeah, and kind of to the, you know, stumbling more about the leadership, I think that's something that, in addition to what they need from an on-field perspective, when you look at the transfer portal, I think that's something that's got to be in the this is what we need type of thing when Shane Beamer and the staff are going on recruiting in the transfer portal, just because think back again to that defense of the transfers that were leaders on that team. I mean, you had Demetrius Knight, who was a transfer and a leader on that team. Those guys on the offensive line that I mentioned, that's in addition to what these guys can bring either at whatever position it's going to be. Like, that's a leadership, and kind of having a voice in the room is something that they're going to have to look at in the portal.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a break after this, but I do see Ethan said the fans have turned on Beamer. Don't know if there's any going back now unless he makes it to the playoffs next year. Ethan, I'll just say this. The less vocal Gamecock fans, which are probably the majority of Gamecock fans, I don't think they've turned on Shane Beamer. I think they're very, very frustrated. But most of them think about last year and how close they were, and they look at the bad breaks this year. I think that a lot of blame goes to Mike Shula. With I don't want to say the casual fans, because they care just as much. They just don't. They're not as vocal. If I had to put Beamer's approval rating right now, it'd probably be like a sitting president, probably 45%. You know, maybe 55% on a good day. The Gamecocks get a couple big commitments on National Signing Day. Maybe his approval rating is 57%. If, they lose a couple kids on National Signing Day, maybe it dips down to 38%. But the vocal fans are the ones that are on Twitter, on message boards, on Facebook. And look, they have every right to say whatever they want to say. I totally get that. So I'm seeing a couple questions here. Some questions about staff moves. We're going to talk about that after this break. You know, the fans only accept a coach that goes to the playoffs. I asked them to check if they have the right jersey on. XO, you know, that's pretty good. You know, talking about luxury boxes, Alex, do we hire an OC? Look, we're going to get all to that, all of those questions right after this sponsor break.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl. Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
J.C. Sherbert here. Had a brilliant idea that some good friends of mine in Florence have told me about. Next time you're having a wedding or an event or anytime you got to feed a bunch of people, talk to my friends over at Flavortown Eats and Events. That's right. It's a food truck slash trailer. Prepares the food fresh on site right there for you. No hassle. It's absolutely delicious. They'll come out, turnkey solution to feed the masses at your event. Go to their website right now. FlavortownFlow.com. That's FlavortownFlow.com. They have all the contact information you need, and they are a proud sponsor of the Late Night Gamecock Show and the Chiefs Sports Network.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Go Gamecocks!
This is the Late Night Gamecock Show with the pride of Hampton County, Alex Jones. And with the king of late night, Matt Anderson. Go Gamecocks!
All right. Welcome back into Rooster Rant. We just left off the show talking about the future and coaches, all that. And Shane Beamer has a lot for 2026. And I want to welcome in Justin Lyles from sportsguyvalue.com right now.
If it would, there we go. We should be getting it.
Good evening, boys. How are we doing?
Doing great. How about you?
Doing good.
I guess Justin here. I did quickly that Justin actually sent some picks.
Yeah, how'd I do?
We got Justin in here?
Nope. I think maybe a little bit delayed.
Justin, you here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I see y'all. Here y'all. Can you see and hear me?
Yeah, man. We can hear you. So first off, Justin, before we get into a lot of this football talk, you know, Justin did send some thoughts he had on Wednesday. He wasn't able to join us, so we're happy he got in here today on Sunday. But Georgia Tech plus 14, Justin, for two units, hit the A&M minus 2.5. Look, even after you sent that, I followed you there. I was already on that one. That didn't hit. Miami minus 7, good. Kentucky, I don't think that one hit. Nope. South Carolina, I don't think that one hit, but you know, the Bama one hit. I felt like you had a pretty decent week.
Yes, I did. I ended up, you know, I sent the early leans, and I actually pulled Kentucky off the board, and that was not on my card for Saturday. Turned out that was the right case, right move there. But looking back, sorry, I missed y'all. There's a lot of games on Friday, so really there was it's really kind of twofold. A lot of stuff going on Friday as well as Saturday. So I didn't realize how many games were Friday. I should have sent a whole bunch more. But overall, really kind of 8-5-1 over five units for week 14 to wrap up the regular season.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't bet, but I saw everything, and I was like, you know what? If I was betting, I'd be following a lot of what Justin said. I think it all made sense. But, Justin, off the cuff, we're going to get to a lot of what's next for Shane Beamer after this conversation, but just give me your take on Gamecocks 28-14 loss to Clemson on Saturday, yesterday. Feels like forever
ago. Yeah, I think it's just, putting the bow on things, bow on the season. I think for most Gamecock fans, with this game ending, regardless of how the outcome, came about, I think it's a lot of Gamecock fans are relieved. I think that's the word, relieved that the season's over. It's kind of been like a slow bleeding cut that just won't heal up. It's finally come to an end, and I think that game was a representative of how our whole season's gone. Just kind of costly turnovers, lack of communication, and then next thing you know, I mean, you're down six with three plus minutes to go, and then you get a kind of awkward bounce that Harbor should have made. Should have caught the pass, and it turned into a pick six, and then the miscommunication on the end zone, and then you could talk about the refs, give or take, but at the end of the day, South Carolina didn't make enough plays. Moving forward.
Yeah, Alex and I were talking about it, and Alex said it a few times, and it was a microcosm of the season. It was just, the entire season's failures rolled into one. I think that it effectively ends the Mike Furry for offensive coordinator conversation. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Look, it's only a three-game sample, and the guy got thrown into the fire with – an offensive line coach that wasn't the offensive line coach to start, a tight ends coach that became the offensive line coach, and a wide receiver coach that all of a sudden was calling plays. So, Hayne has something funny to say in here. I wouldn't say a bow, more like match to the trash pile. Yeah, Justin, I don't know if like you had a feel on the preseason win total. You weren't on the show then. You and I never spoke about it, but I think it was like 6.5, 7.5, 8.5. I probably would have taken the over. I mean, I thought the Gamecocks would win 9-10 games this year. I didn't think Lenore Sellers would regress. Now, is that Mike Shula? Is it Lenore Sellers? I don't think we know right now.
Yeah, the season total was, well, going back to the bow, the bow tie, it's more like a dumpster fire is what I call it, right? So, yeah. Going back to the over-under, it was 7.5 for the season. I was on the over, but I do a bunch of futures for a bunch of teams, and I was over on South Carolina because what we had coming back and what we somewhat brought in and recruited and whatnot, this team was, based on what happened last season, obviously they doesn't carry over, and you saw that this year. This is a whole totally different team. Everybody knew of Lenore's, and for them to come up short of 7.5 is really unfortunate. But I told a lot of folks prior to at the end of the season last year when Shula took the OC job and they went down to Florida for the bowl game, I told a lot of people, I said, man, it's not like Shula was hired a week before. He'd been there all the year. And then when I saw that game, I just didn't think there was a lot of good coming from that going forward. And it turns out I was correct on that. But you was hoping for the best. And at the end of the day, you're a 4-win team and you got a lot of work to do for 2026.
Yeah, I mean, Alex, you and I talked about it. I said it immediately after the Illinois game. But I also brought up, like JC and I did an Illinois preview. And I said, if you are playing against Lenore Sellers right now, you keep everything in front of you. You make him beat you with his arm. And I guess Illinois coaches, in my infinite wisdom, were watching. And that's exactly what they did and what a lot of teams did this year.
You can see yesterday Clemson was not going to let Lenore Sellers run the football. Like even on some of these kind of zone read types of things, they had somebody who's going to be keying in on Lenore Sellers, and you saw that a lot this year. Teams are just, all right, let's see if Lenore Sellers can beat us with his arm and do everything we can to not let him beat us with his legs.
That's right. And with the Mike Shula stuff, it had me a little worried coming to the preseason too, but I just figured, well, and I said it after the Illinois game too, guys. I was like, I don't think the game plan was to get Lenore's hurt. There was nothing to play for outside of 10 wins. And, you know, I double checked with sources after I said it. I probably should double check with sources ahead of time before I said it. But they said, no, that was not any consideration. It was go be you. And now we got 13 games of Lenore Sellers not looking like a 6-game stretch. So, you know, what's real? I don't know. But so, Alex, you know, first and foremost, as we keep moving forward here, everything has to turn to 2026. Justin just said it. So what happens first in 2026, Alex? Well, Wednesday we have National Signing Day. Gamecocks have, I believe, 14 commitments right now. 8 of them are composite 4-stars. I will still say that I think some of these guys that are 3-stars are pretty daggum good. Now, are they future 4- or 5-star players? I don't know. But you still have to like the trend of the blue chip ratio moving more and more to 50% of your roster. Gamecocks are right on the cusp this year, but coaches are still required, right? That's why the blue chip ratio says you need about 60%, because sometimes you have dumb coaching. But looking at this, Alex, I'm going to name a couple players. Just give me your feel on it. We hope that the Gamecocks are able to sign everyone they should on Wednesday. I haven't heard anything to indicate otherwise. I don't think there's anybody looking to flip. If they were going to flip, they already would have, right? And they've stuck it through, and a lot of them were at the game Saturday. I don't think four days is going to change their heart and their mind. But you got 5-star defensive end Zion Ely committed to Maryland, 4-star running back Carson Baker, who was a surprise official visitor this weekend. He's committed to Florida. 4-star defensive lineman, who I think is probably a linebacker, but we'll see. He has to grow. P.J. Dean committed to Georgia. You have 4-star defensive end Julian Walker committed to Michigan. And you have 3-star safety Tamarian Watkins committed to A&M. Tamarian Watkins was also on campus this weekend, kind of a surprise, and so was P.J. Dean. So, Alex, of those guys, are they going to flip any of them? Can they flip any of them is the question.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting kind of storyline leading up to National Signing Day. You know, I think let's start with Dean and Watkins, like those two kind of being like surprise visitors at the game yesterday. Could be something to watch just because they're, you know, probably could have gone to a lot of different places. Obviously, Watkins being committed to Texas A&M and Georgia being Dean being committed to Georgia. And both of those teams did play on Friday. So, but I think it is noteworthy that both of those guys are there. So we'll see on there. Julian Walker, New Michigan commit guy that's Dutch Forkin, and we've talked about him and his connections and all that for a long time. Still going to be keeping an eye on that. Zion Ely, like, I think that was one to watch. Like, I think Mike Locksley getting, you know, kind of that vote of confidence from the athletic department there at Maryland. You know, maybe, you know, I think still keep an eye on, but if just from my standpoint, I think my confidence probably went down a little bit. And then Carson Baker, I think, could be one to watch. Florida, obviously, he committed to Billy Napier and all and that staff. Now that John Summerall is coming in, we'll see if they can try to do what they can to keep Carson Baker in. But, you know, he came in with that official visit this weekend. So, you know, it's hard to just put a percentage on a lot of this just because the things can't change. But, you know, we'll see. You know, Baker's going to be interesting to watch. And a lot of those guys, like, are they, you know, are they going to get all 5 of those guys? Probably not. Like, but I mean, you want to see, you know, those are all really good players that you want to try to flip.
Yeah, and Justin, I know that you might pay attention to recruiting, but, like, you're not beating the bushes down trying to figure out where your kids are going to school. I don't want to speak for you, Justin, but you're very much the kind of guy that's like, all right, you were good in high school. Let's see if you're good in college, and then let's see what happens. But I'll give you my take on this because I unfortunately do have to beat around the bushes a little bit. I do hear things. With Zion Ely, I don't think it was a situation where the Gamecocks finished 2nd when he committed to Maryland. He committed so much earlier in the entire continuation of his recruitment. I know it's a money thing for Zion. He's getting paid a crap ton of money to go to Maryland. Don't know if the Gamecocks can find the money for him or if he even wants to come to South Carolina, but I think South Carolina was the only team he visited outside of Maryland this season. And
it was basically, or is, I guess, basically Maryland and South Carolina. Auburn was kind of in it, but I think that was for, you know, the once Hugh Freeze, all that kind of ended. I think that kind of, it was basically Maryland, South Carolina.
Yeah, Carson Baker, I don't know if I'd go as far as to say that Gamecocks were 2nd. I think they were definitely top 3 when he committed to Florida. But him coming on with the official visit, probably signed to monitor, like you mentioned.
Yeah, there's been, you know, South Carolina probably at one point was maybe at the top of his recruitment. Like, they've definitely been a factor in him for a long time. You know, but, you know, he's, you know, with recently, I think it's kind of been a North Carolina. He officially visited North Carolina, Kentucky, also at Florida. Like, could see this one being a Florida-South Carolina thing come signing day.
Yeah, you go to PJ Dean. Like, I've seen the kid in person. I don't know how anyone ever thought he was going to be an offensive lineman or a defensive tackle. But he's built like Melvin Ingram. Like, if you remember Melvin Ingram, so maybe a linebacker, defensive end. With him, man, like, I thought he was going to commit to South Carolina. Like, people in the know said he was committing to South Carolina the morning of his announcement date. He has a brother that plays at Georgia. We'll see what happens there, but I know for a fact that there were a lot of positive reasons to think he was going to commit to South Carolina. Then you go to Julian Walker. Alex has just told the story. He's visited South Carolina more than any other school. He's been a mainstay for every single home game. His dad's on the strength and conditioning staff. He went to Michigan this past weekend for the game, and it was a visit. He said he wanted to get his mom comfortable, and we all know that no matter what anybody says, mama's rule recruiting. So we'll see how that visit went. I expect him to stay radio silent until he signs, unless he reaffirms his commitment to Michigan. And then with Tamarian Watkins, man, I have no idea. Tamarian Watkins was a big Gamecock lean earlier. There's been some NIL stuff that's been involved there. There's been some promises that have been made. State of Texas seems to have a little bit of issues with maybe, you know, paying how they were going to pay, what they were going to pay. But at the same time, NIL has been a part of my French a shit show the entire time. So who knows? But getting him there, that was a visit that's been in the works for a while. If you remember the BigSpur.com, you knew that there was going to be a mystery recruit on campus a couple weeks ago. That was going to be Tamarian Watkins. So getting him back was good. Alex, I do think the Gamecocks get at least one of these guys. I think they could get two, three. Yep. I don't think they're going to get all five of them. But so that's the focus for Shane Beamer now, is signing all the kids that are committed and trying to get as many as possible to flip. There aren't any guys I know of that are off the radar right now. There might be a kid that's not committed anywhere, committed to like East Carolina. Okay, we're going to talk about East Carolina second. That was a Freudian slip. but there might be a kid committed to low-level school that they'd say, okay, we'll take a flyer. Do you want to sign on signing day? So, Justin, my question to you, getting my take and Alex's take, what do you want to see happen on National Signing Day?
Man, I used to follow this stuff religiously, and I realized that that's not the way to go, because you're hoping that they're going to turn a kid or two to flip your way, and then sometimes it goes against you. They leave South Carolina and go to another school. So I try not to get too caught up in it. I would love us to, you know, get the kid from Maryland, just because Maryland's kind of been stealing our kids, so to speak. I don't know why. We just seem to be in a recruiting battle with them for many years, but that program is nothing. I mean, they're literally nothing outside of paying kids, and with Under Armour kind of falling, you know, going underwater and whatnot. But that's a conversation for another day. At the end of the day, I mean, I think it's the biggest thing is you got to flip the roster. You know, like 2 years ago, they were 5-8. They switched around, go 9-3. You got to plug that transfer portal just right, and you got to evaluate talent. That's the biggest thing. I'm not too concerned about these, you know, freshmen coming in next year and making a difference, because if we're relying on that, I think we're in big trouble. What teams do that the best and evaluate and spend the money the best, like you're seeing that with Texas Tech outside of spending a lot of money, I think that's the biggest key. Can Beamer and his new staff, whenever they announce the OC and potentially other coaches, who can evaluate, and they need to evaluate quick, because we're going to be looking at a new head coach if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I agree with all that, Justin. And, you know, once you turn your attention from National Signing Day, which, like, say all you want about being a head coach, you get paid millions and millions and millions of dollars. But when you come off a 4-8 season, you're replacing your offensive coordinator, got National Signing Day in 3 or 4 days. Like, I don't want those problems. Like, there's not enough money in the world that wants me to have those problems. I'd rather just bet with sportscapvalue.com and make my money that way. But here's my take on offensive coordinator. I told Alex this last night. And it's nothing that I don't think Alex hasn't heard as well, but I was led to believe, and I don't know who the name is. You've seen some names pop up today, but I was led to believe that Shane Beamer being announced back through the state newspaper was that Donati and Shane Beamer had talked about the candidates. They felt really good about getting at least one of the candidates, and it was going to be up to Beamer to pick who he wanted. Right. And at this point, you know, you're seeing some names out there. The most prominent name right now is John David Baker from East Carolina. As I mentioned, the Freudian slip there earlier. I don't think it's a done deal. I don't know that for a fact. No one's texting me saying, hey, Matt, this is the guy. But I also haven't asked. Like, I just don't – outside of the show, I don't feel like digging today, guys. But the other guy is Kevin Decker from Old Dominion. I wouldn't be surprised if it's either of those two. I don't know if I have a personal preference, Alex. Justin, I don't know how much – you probably paid attention to East Carolina and Old Dominion more than Alex and I have or anybody watching this show. So I'll start with Justin. Do you have a feel? Would you be okay with either of those guys being the next offensive coordinator?
Yes, I would. I think that's the way that South Carolina and Shane Beamer has to go. You have to go and get an upcoming OC that's willing to roll the dice for potentially a one-year rental, so to speak. But when you're leaving a school like ECU or Old Dominion or another school similar, I mean, they can take that risk on their behalf and probably find their way into another job post-South Carolina if it doesn't work out with Beamer and what have you. But you roll the dice one of those. And from a betting perspective, I love what they're doing at ECU. If he is the guy, I had them on a lot of overs this year, and they were part of that equation when I'm looking at teams and whatnot and team totals, and they can put up points, and they did it all year. So I think it'd be a home run hire from South Carolina's perspective.
Yeah, and I agree with both of what you said, Matt and Justin. Like, and I think I saw someone, I think it may have been Queen, the Cogs, asked in the chat a little bit earlier about other coaches on the offensive staff. One thing you got to consider with that is, you know, whoever the offensive coordinator is going to be, does he have somebody from an offensive line perspective or somebody he wants to bring along with him for that coaching staff? And that's stuff that will happen with Shane Beamer behind the scenes and all that. So, as far as a timeline, like, I don't know. You know, I think Shane Beamer is going to take his time on this just to make sure he has it right, just because of the importance of this offensive coordinator search. And now he has had some time just with the season and some of the things that he's had some time, obviously, since letting Mike Shula go to get this process started. But I'm not sure exactly when the timeline could be one of those that pops up that you see all of a sudden on Twitter, something pops up like that. But we'll see as far as the time. I don't know if it's going to be. Now, maybe it is before signing, but I don't think it's imperative that it's before signing, just because you've already built the relationships with those recruits and all that. But we'll see on the timing.
Yeah, as far as the timeline goes, I'll go ahead and say it. I think it's within 7 days from right now. I think that there is an announcement. Let's just say Friday or Saturday. It would not surprise me at all for Shane and the Gamecocks to try and make that announcement on conference championship Saturday, get some attention to South Carolina. It also wouldn't. Guys, I feel pretty confident right now in saying that Shane Beamer will make a comment Wednesday during National Signing Day saying that, you know, I can't tell you who the guy is right now. We'll have an announcement of that later, but every single offensive commitment is on board with this. Like, I do think you'll see something like that. I think that it's probably contractual at this point. I think they're probably just working through the contract, figuring out buyout, figuring out all those things. Yeah, I mean, I think the offensive coordinator is going to be known here pretty soon. This is not going to be a 2-week drag out by any means. I don't think it's going to last very long.
That's exactly what I was just about to say. It's not going to be something that just drags on and on like it. And I think Caroline Titan just said something about the transfer portal there in the comments. Like, yeah, it's just not going to be something that drags on and on. But just as far as like exact time and all that, just not sure on that.
Yeah, and if I may add, I think a lot of it too.
Yeah, and I think it's a good thing.
As far as going into the OC hire, I think. You know, there's got to be some discussions behind the scenes on what's going to play out with sellers too, because obviously whoever's interviewing for the job is having those questions, you know, because obviously they would want to have him in their back pocket to coach versus do they have to bring in somebody else or whatnot, or even somebody from their team, you know, or who's going to be that right fit, right? I think that's a lot of it's playing behind the scenes as part of this whole equation.
Matt, you're muted.
I'm sorry, guys. I was muted, and we got to make way for the SEC Sunday night guys here in a minute. But look, you know, I think when you think about this offensive coordinator equation, it also trickles down to exactly what Alex mentioned: offensive line coach, tight ends coach, wide receivers coach. I don't think Furry's the kind of guy that's going to get in the way of a future offensive coordinator. He's very much a football guy, but you have to figure out: do I need a new voice in the offensive line room? I think we all agree that Sean Elliott's a pretty daggum good offensive line coach, but you have so many talented guys based on high school recruiting rankings and experience that maybe a fresh start for everybody is what you need. So maybe Sean Elliott drops back to tight ends coach, assistant offensive line coach, whatever. Maybe Mike Furry gets passing game coordinator, assistant head coach, whatever that is. But then you have running backs. You know, Carson Baker would be a really good feather in the cap for Markwell. He needs to get a good high school running back, because your running back coach should be one of your best recruiters on the staff, bar none. So we'll see what happens there. On the defensive side, obviously Coastal fired Tim Beck today. There's been some conversation about Clayton White. When it comes to Coastal and Clayton White right now, I think that a lot of the talk is premature. Football Scoop does a really good job with the information they put out, but that is where the Clayton White stuff is coming from. Chance Miller is the athletic director at Coastal now. I know that he liked Clayton White a heck of a lot, but Clayton White has had opportunities to go be a head coach at these lower level schools before. And you have to, he's the only one that knows. I think it was a logical leap to make, right? To say, oh, well, Chance Miller, Clayton White. Clayton White's been at South Carolina, in-state school. But we'll see there. But I think you want to try and retain as many as the defensive assistant coaches as you can. Obviously, Travian coming back should be a boost to that room, not only from coaching, but also on the sideline. You had a graduate assistant doing it this year, and you had an assistant strength coach doing it this year for the defensive tackles.
Should give credit there real quick to Jordan Dove. I think he did do it. Yeah. Stepping in for Travian Robinson. Those guys, somebody mentioned it earlier in the chat about Troy Pikes and the way he played yesterday. That guy was really good yesterday. So just a quick credit there to Jordan Dove and the way he kind of stepped in there and did a really nice job there.
Yeah, Jordan Dove probably got himself an on-field job next year. I mean, let's be real. I mean, I don't think the defense was that much of a problem this year, and especially not the line. I mean, you had some tackling issues in the linebackers and secondary play, but the defensive line performed well. You know, it's just one of those things where you got to figure it out. See what the offensive coordinator wants and what he has in mind. I think that's going to be a pretty quick decision. And then after everything we just talked about, y'all, National Signing Day, figuring out your coaching staff, now you have player retention. And look, I do like that there's only one transfer signing window now. It's January 2nd to January 16th or 18th. So you can go in the portal anytime you want to. And if a player goes in the portal right now, odds are they know where they're going. Let's just say that. But you have negotiation time. Because look, every single player every year is renegotiating their contract. You know, I wish I was as in demand as some of these players right now, where I could just negotiate every year and hop to a new place and just be fine. But, you know, at the same time, like, even if I had that option, would I want to? So you got to figure those things. What's best for you? What's best for your family? Again, I don't make much of Lenore Sellers laughing at the question, the press conference. I think it was more of like, why the hell are you asking me this question right now as the second or third question in the press conference? But yeah, we'll just see. We'll see what happens there. Look, South Carolina every year is going to use 50 or going to lose 15 to 25 players from its roster every single year. Just get ready for that. Now, you want to retain the right guys. And, you know, unfortunately for Gamecock fans, all Shane Beamer, his coaching staff, Darren Usher, and his staff have to do right now, the only thing they can do is, you know, get through Wednesday and then just start pouring over tape. And, you know, the whole Lenore Sellers stuff to Miami, I'll just go ahead and say it. The connection is Taylor Edwards. It's not very hard to connect those dots. And Taylor Edwards, who I love, I think he's really good at his job. Good luck getting Lenore Sellers from South Carolina after you've had NCAA issues for recruiting. Just good luck is all I'll say. I don't think that South Carolina would have any heartburn at all for saying some tampering things and sending in a nice firm letter to Miami. But look, Miami's not the only school in the country. Dylan Stewart, if he were to enter the transfer portal, he might be the number one overall player in the transfer portal, not just defensively. So these kids are going to have options. You know, Jaden Sellers and Lenore's probably a package deal, however you want to put it. Like, I know that I go play with my brother. I mean, Justin, I think you go play with your brothers. You did it for 18 years already, so you probably want to keep going.
Yeah, that's well said. I mean, the odds of Stewart and Sellers both staying are probably slim to none. I don't know, at least one of them going, you know, in some form or fashion. But we'll see how it shakes out in the next coming weeks for sure.
And look, we'll be all over it, y'all. We'll be all over it. Alex and I, you know, Yeah, Alex and I were joking, following all like the national coaching searches and the SEC coaching searches today, saying like, you know, it would have been fun to have a coaching search because at least you have something else to talk about other than this crap football season that we've had to watch. But y'all, on the Sunday night, guys, are probably starting right now. They're going to have all this SEC coaching carousel conversation. They're going to be breaking it down. So I don't want to take away from their time. Justin, man, appreciate you coming on. Yep. Wednesday, I would still love to have you, and you know, possibly as long as you'll do it with us.
Oh yeah,
conference game, yeah. And we'll keep going there. Alex is going to put his nose to the ground and nose to the brimstone and start, you know, searching out all this information. And I promise I'll be doing the same thing. So, y'all, man, we really appreciate everyone for being here tonight. When you spend your time with us, you give us the most valuable thing you have. And I know it's been a frustrating season. We appreciate everyone sticking through it with us. And look, you know, we'll be right here on Wednesdays going forward. The Sunday stuff is only football, but you never know. Alex and I might pop in randomly, so make sure you're subscribed. And for a big basketball win, we do that periodically, and baseball will be here before you know it. And I know Justin knows baseball.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to it. It'll be here before you know it. And obviously 2026 is hopefully going to be a better year for the Gamecocks going forward.
Absolutely. Well, everyone have a great night. Make sure you click over to the SEC Sunday night, guys, and we'll be back with y'all Wednesday. Have a great evening, everyone. Bye, y'all.